I'm Heather Webster, the 2020 Lincoln County Teacher of the Year and the Maine State Teacher of the Year finalist. It's been a long, tough year in education for students and teachers, and following Maine's April vacation, I was looking for a mini unit that would be fun for my students while giving them time to read the novel that I hadn't sent home over the break. I was just wrapping up a poetry seminar myself, and one of my favorite educational bloggers, Betsy Potash from Spark Creativity, had recently reshared her 2018 blog about I Am From poems. My colleague and friend Carrie Taylor was more than happy to share some resources she'd used with her students, and I planned a short 2-week delve into poetry quick writes, culminating in constructing I Am From poems. Things were going great. My students were rocking to, or at least tolerant of, the songs I shared each class as a way to jumpstart our poetry thinking. And even my most reluctant writers were writing something. Then, as I was walking into school one morning near the end of that first week of poetry, I passed the photo teacher hanging students' self-portraits. I paused to check them out and discovered that what I thought were artist statements were I Am From poems written by her students, many of whom were also my students. There went my plans.
Wait, I stole your lesson plans? I am so sorry.
No, it's okay. I adjusted. Have you used this activity in previous years?
Honestly, I was involved in a running program where I was coaching. We did something similar like I Am From, but we weren't allowed to use their materials, so I looked for a similar activity. I searched online and saw that there was a lot of this poem.
In the 28 years since George Ella Lyons penned I Am From, in response to another poem by her friend, Tennessee writer Joe Carson, the poem has inspired writers in classrooms, at family reunions, in prisons, and at refugee camps. Lyons and educator Julie Landsman collaborated to create the I Am From Project, which gathers the poems online with the hopes of someday taking a river of voices to Washington, D.C. Blogger Catherine Lanzer calls it the poem sent round the world. The poem form is most often used to celebrate diversity. Used in a group, it invites participants to respect diverse experiences, feelings, and aspirations, to recognize and accept diverse cultures, whether they be from across town or across the globe. Brooke, when I came back to read the students' writing you posted in the hallway, you know what I was really struck by? The common threads that ran through the pandemic part of the poems. There was a real sense that this experience, this collective experience, had led students to similar discoveries about themselves.
They do have a better sense of who they are and how to survive.
I know you're one of the leaders in our building in regards to social-emotional learning. Does this tie in?
Earlier in this year, every 2 weeks, I was asking kids via Google form, how are you doing? Do you need help? Do you need supplies? Food? This was a way to tell me a little bit about themselves, their experience, and make sure they were okay.
You're right. Early on in the year, I asked my sophomores to write about COVID, but I hesitated to ask too much because some of them really didn't want to focus on the pandemic.
I felt like that too, but then I was listening to NPR and someone was talking about how we need to think back and record this time. It's going to be something to share with our grandchildren someday. This writing, it's like getting behind the veil of the mask. Something we miss is that they don't talk.
I know, they're so quiet.
I do think that this is a poem that makes a person vulnerable. The students have to trust you.
It's been such a challenge to get to know them this year, especially the freshmen, to build that trust.
As the crisis sweeps the nation, the toll is growing by the hour. Seemingly overnight, much of our daily lives have been put on hold. This morning, the list of closings and activities being suspended is growing from coast to coast. All Americans now trying to navigate what we're kind of calling a new normal.
Hoda, good morning. From school children to sports stars, the lives of millions of Americans are being severely disrupted by the coronavirus pandemic. Schools, work, even iconic institutions like Broadway and Disney World are shut down. Experts say the economic impact could be immense in the long run, not to mention the emotional toll it's taking on a nervous nation.
We have urged schools to end in-classroom instruction, which they have done. These are no ordinary times. 16 days seems like an eternity for most of us. No ordinary times, but these are times when extraordinary actions are required. So today, I am taking the most aggressive action yet. Effective this Thursday morning, April 2nd, until April 30th, I am ordering all Maine people to stay at home.
The spring of 2020 was a long one, with no clear expectations for students other than to stay safe. Learning opportunities were offered, but few partook of them. In a sense, the students just disappeared. And when they returned to our new normal in the fall, they were subdued, still, and silent. Through hybrid schedules, remote learning, and finally a return to almost full-time school in March of 2021, the students went through the motions of school, but it was not the lively place I remember from pre-pandemic days when getting to know students was almost as simple as just spending time with them. One student stands out when I consider the winter of the 2020-2021 pandemic year. Day after day, face half hidden behind the mask, Sydney slips silently into my homeroom, sometimes after the tardy bell. It is nearly June, and I still don't really know her at all, this tall, graceful girl with the beautiful long brown hair who is not in any of my classes. But when I read her poem, I want to know her. She writes of old wooden floors in a farmhouse, of bullfrogs singing at night, and of grass rippling in the hayfields like waves on the ocean.
I am from my house that felt more like a prison than a home, and my room completely covered in art projects, occupying my mind with drawing like other people bite their nails. I am from saying goodbye to the outside world and hello to my bedroom, a sketchbook, baking, too much Netflix, and way too much family time. Thinking back to my quarantine memories is like an echo chamber of all the boring bouncing around in my head. I am from the smell of baking and homemade meals, from letting go of my friends, even if it was just for a couple months, and my favorite thing to do, which is going to dance.
Sydney says she will remember the pandemic when she sees a bottle of hand sanitizer. Always. And she grieves for the months of separation from her friends, friends she has been with since the age of 2. Friends were also a big part of Donovan's pre-pandemic life, and he feels the loss of time with his friends keenly. When we were fully remote, Donovan was the vintage Aunt Jemima image amidst the icons on my black screen, and I've never gotten close enough to him to ask about that choice. He fully admits that he didn't do well with remote learning. He'd be failing if I didn't work out some alternate assignments once we returned to school.
I'm from staying up late and watching movies with comfy PJs and my family, from finger foods and tacos for days, from letting go of the ones most dearest to us, to embracing who I really am.
I asked Donovan's whole class what object, like Donovan's tacos, will symbolize the pandemic for them. The initial responses are predictable. Glass dividers, Google Meets, toilet paper. The latter draws some laughs. But then the responses become more contemplative and more personal. Pointless car rides, long walks, baking banana bread, a scar from surgery. Madison, who was remote more than most because of surgery, writes about special memories, shared values, and family times filled with laughter. I have never heard this girl with a super straight red gold hair and black framed rectangular glasses laugh. COVID guidelines, social distancing, and long stretches of remote learning have all but eliminated the activities that usually evoke laughter in my classroom.
I am from letting go from not being able to go out of state to embrace how much I would rather be out of the house than stuck inside.
Some students, like Evelyn, embrace the lockdown as time to get outside, as I have discovered slowly through their writing. In her journal, she tells of hikes 5 miles away from anywhere, carrying a massive backpack and feeling like she's never been so aware of her steps in her entire life. There is a softness to Evelyn's appearance that belies her determination. Perhaps it would show in the set of her jaw and the firmness of her smile if we weren't all wearing masks.
I'm from trees swaying and footsteps in motion, from chocolate cake and smoke from a warm fire, from letting go to the public, letting go to the endless shops and activities, to embracing the endless camp trips and savoring them like each time was the last.
It is not surprising that hiking shoes will always be a symbol of the lockdown for Evelyn. Not unlike her classmate, Jalen, who says it will be her sneakers that remind her of the long family walks that she hopes will continue long after the pandemic has passed.
I am from walking quiet streets, walls the same ones for months, and loved ones seen but only through screens. All the memories make up our upside-down world full of new normals. I am from quiet and frozen faces holding hope for the future. My memories are glue, holding together the time between my last trip and last uncovered smile, and the present of air hugs and slowly lessening the distance. I'm from laughing through the hard times, bubbling water drowning out the worries, from campfire-smoked food and creamy triple chocolate crunch ice cream, from letting go of face-to-face communication and travel, to embracing faces on screens and middle-of-nowhere destinations.
Jalen grieved for the loss of summer road trips with family, a 10-year tradition. Traditions are among the many things that students grieved for when I asked the question.
Being around people.
Sports.
Spending the holidays with family.
Pubs.
Just noise.
Ah, noise. I miss the noise of normal high school. There is little noise in the halls, in the cafeteria, in my classroom. Tall and lanky and quick with a comeback, Kaylee sits in the back corner of my period 4 class and adds a little noise to it with her verbal sparring with classmate Landon. She is all redhead. Of all my students, Kaylee is the one I would probably tell you that I have gotten to know the best. She hasn't let the mask dim her energetic personality. But I would be wrong. I didn't know that she had lost an aunt to COVID-19, an aunt who passed away the same weekend that they traditionally would have been spending time with her at camp.
I'm from fireworks and the crack of fire, from chocolate pie and raspberries, from letting go of sports and seeing family, to embracing time with friends.
Letting go of friends and activities was perhaps the biggest challenge for young people. Haley recounts how every missed dance event, picture day, dress rehearsal day, recital day, was like reopening a wound. But to read her poem is to get a picture of how strong family connections were the balm for the loss of dance.
I'm from laughter and long hikes, from freshly baked cookies and weird tasting granola bars. From letting go of memories of the end of eighth grade to embracing new and special memories and experiences.
Haley hopes that as we emerge from the pandemic, that people will hold on to the empathy they found during these times. When I ask a class what came about during or because of the pandemic that they hope will stay, most of the answers look to large ideas. Being more grateful, unity and community, personal space and self-growth.
I learned that I am not as scared as I once was.
I learned that I am willing to make friends.
I learned that I am resilient and strong.
I learned that I am strong.
I learned that I am stronger.
I learned that I am self-motivated. I am from an experience that taught me what I want for my future, to change our world for the better.
There's been a lot of talk in the media this year about learning loss. Thinking about your year, especially the students' responses to this activity, what would you say in response to that?
Students are gaining and they will continue to gain. They've learned early not to take things for granted. It's a tough lesson. In the long run, these learnings are going to be more valuable for an individual than an SAT score. It'll be okay. They will be okay.
I'd like to thank my colleague, Madomic Valley High School art teacher Brooke Holland, and students Sydney, Donovan, Madison, Evelyn, Jalen, Kaylee, and Haley, as well as my 2020-2021 English 2 honors class. Information on I Am From poems was retrieved from the poet's website.
the archived news clips from the March 13th, 2020 Today Show and Governor Mills' March 31st, 2020 press conference were edited for length and continuity. The music backing track by Asapira 120 was retrieved from Pixabay.